T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Good Sunday morning, everybody, and welcome on in. It's Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. Thank you for tuning on in. We appreciate it. Got lots to dive into in the world of mixed martial arts and boxing. We're going to talk to great mixed martial arts welterweight Rory McDonald later on today's program. Looking forward to that conversation with the Red King, so stay tuned for that. We'll start off with a little UFC, as we had last night a hell of a main event, as you had TJ Dillashaw making his return against Corey Sandhagen. Really, really great main event. One of the really, you know, great main events that, not on a pay-per-view, but just great fight night main events. If you think about the stakes in the division, how talented both of these guys are, where they're at in their careers, what TJ Dillashaw was coming back from. And I will give the UFC a broadcast. They've taken some criticism in the past for brushing aside drug tests and not talking about it. You know, they made an effort. I mean, they played that redemption piece on TJ Dillashaw about 1,000 times tonight, and the broadcasters didn't ignore it. So it was definitely a focal point of the story tonight. It wasn't one of those things where they just kind of ignored. They didn't just call it transgressions or something lame like that. Like, they did make it part of today's tale, and that he did have a lot to prove. And I think that if you're TJ Dillashaw and everybody's saying that, you know, you know, weren't going to be the same after taking PEDs, or weren't going to have the same cardio after using EPO, I think that he was able to prove tonight that, at least in the mind of everybody else, you know, being able, you think that you got through this fight camp clean and all that, there's definitely a level of him getting back to who he was pre popping for PEDs. There's definitely a level of that for him. Him versus Corey Sandhagen, great fight. I mean, you know, my initial reaction to it afterwards was I thought Corey Sandhagen was going to get the nod. I thought that he was going to win 48-47, and that it was even going into the fifth round, and that the fifth round was close, but I thought that Sandhagen got the better of him. Looking at the judges' scorecards, you know, two of the judges had it for Sandhagen. One judge had it for Dillashaw. One of the judges who had it for Dillashaw had Dillashaw winning the fifth round, winning the third round, winning the first round. I think if that's how you're going to score, that's probably how you should win it. But one of the judges had it, only giving Sandhagen the second and the fifth. I mean, that's tough for me. I guess I could see you giving Sandhagen the fourth on some levels. The thing that I think bothered me about this is I felt like TJ Dillashaw did a great job of trying to use some of Sandhagen's youth against him, used definitely some veteran tricks, used his aggressiveness against him, but I don't necessarily think that he dished out the punishment that Corey Sandhagen did. I think that if you looked at the two of them clearly after the fight, Sandhagen looked like he won the fight. I mean, there were some vicious shots that he hit TJ Dillashaw with. And I don't necessarily think that he really beat him up in the clinch. I don't really necessarily think that he beat him up. You know, he definitely came forward. He definitely had some control of rounds. But I just thought that Sandhagen made the most of his opportunities in the times that he had the advantage. I still acknowledge that TJ Dillashaw, you know, was a close fight. I don't think that he got blown out by any means. But I just thought that Sandhagen deserved the nods. I thought that for sure 2-4 and 5 were his. 3, I thought that Dillashaw kind of squeaked out there at the end with his last minute takedown, his last minute shots. I thought for sure that was his. Same thing with round one. But I thought 4 and 5, I thought that Sandhagen kept it mostly at the feet, and when it was up at the feet and it was straight up, he was getting the better of it. So I don't think that Dillashaw deserved that last round, but it is what it is. Look, it wasn't the most egregious decision on the scorecard even tonight. Wasn't a great night for the judges. I think there were a lot of unsatisfying results for sure. But for DJ, it's a big win. It is what it is. He got his hand raised. And when you're the former champion and you take no breaks, you come right back and you fight the number two guy in the world. It doesn't have to be pretty. It doesn't have to be sensational. It just has to be a win. And I felt like, I feel like after tonight, yeah, he's right back in there with the title shot. He's right back in there with the title picture. You know, whether it be against Petr Yan, whether it be against Aljamain Sterling, he's right there. He's right there. And I know a lot of people get crazy with all the PEDs and he shouldn't be right back there. That's a long punishment, man. I mean, I don't know what is the extra mile you want him to go to as far as never getting back into the title picture again. Is it just never? Because when you go about this and you take 2.5 years off, where you're suspended 2.5 years serving your punishment, it's bad. I mean, you know, people talk about ring rust, whether it matters or not. I think it's a thing. Some doubt, you know, Dominic Cruz on the broadcast tonight is a big doubter of all that type of stuff. But whether you believe in it, whether you don't believe in it, he didn't come back and have a tune-up fight. Usually in boxing, you come back after that type of a layoff. See a guy like Keith Thurman, they take time off. They just want to get their feet wet. He's going right into the shark tank and coming out of it victorious. So that has to count for something. I don't think you have to go out there and you have to root for TJ Dillashaw. You can still root against him. You can still think that he's a cheat. I know that some people are more bothered by PEDs more so than I am. But I just think as far as punishment is concerned, look, we've seen John Jones. He's gone on back in there and gone back to the top ranks. We've seen other guys who have been, you know, juiced to the gills. They've gotten opportunities again. I think that TJ Dillashaw, you know, he served the punishment. 2 years is a long, long time. And came back and won himself a very important match. So, yeah, I do think that he deserves to be right in there into the title shot. Now, what's going to happen with that title shot is going to be interesting. Like, if Aljamain Sterling loses, are they doing a 1-1 thing and then they're doing a trilogy? If he loses, are they absolutely going on to the next thing? I would say probably so. The way that Aljo won the belt is still sketchy in a lot of people's minds. So I don't think that bodes for natural trilogy. And then you look for a guy like Corey Sandhagen, and the tough spot for him is now you got a top three there with the title picture, and two of them you have losses to. So that's a tough spot for him. It's almost like a Curtis Blaydes type of spot where you're beating everybody except for the very, very top guys. Now, this isn't like the loss to Aljo. This is super razor thin. Almost a Max Holloway parallel you could put to it. So if TJ Dillashaw does become champ, I don't think anybody's going to have an argument for Corey Sandhagen and him having a rematch. This was an awesome, awesome fight. Love to see it again. But, things that he's going to kick himself about, things that he's going to be upset at, probably just, you know, I do think that I don't think fatigue wore on him. I think that I don't think that was the case, but I do think that TJ did a great job of taking Sandhagen's aggressiveness and using it against him. I think that some of those crazy knees and some of those crazy spinning kicks, Dillashaw wasn't fazed by it. You know, he really weathered the storm and put up against Cage. Now, look, he got hit with a vicious flying knee in the first round that cut open the bridge of his nose, took a vicious shot in the second round that nearly stopped the fight, which I think is a lot of the reason people are probably like, man, really? Like, TJ kind of leg humped him for the majority of this fight, and he's getting the nod. I get it, for sure. I mean, I definitely think that Sandhagen had the more sensational moments in this fight, for sure. If you're going to look back on the highlight reel, you're going to have a lot more for Sandhagen to choose from than you are for Dillashaw. There's no doubt about that. But, you know, the scoring system is what it is. It's razor thin. It's five rounds in a main event setting, and if you could just be in those right pockets, if you could be savvy enough, you could pull out three rounds and maybe not necessarily have the most damaging moments. And I think that there'll be fans that find this to be unsatisfying, but you know, that's that kind of that's the sport at times. It does, it can be unsatisfying when it comes down to that type of stuff. So for Corey, I don't think he has to get too down. I think for him, you know, this almost goes into a tournament setting. I think that, you know, he probably awaits the loser of Jan versus Sterling, and whomever comes out of that, he tries to go beat, and maybe even on the same card as whoever TJ gets in the winner of that. And then he moves on to another one. I don't really think that he has to overcomplicate this. I think that he's still a very good fighter. Still definitely, I think, his championship quality. This was a loss by the thinnest of margins. This isn't like his loss where he got choked out. He still has a lot of good that I think he could take out of this. And this division is on fire, man. This division is really, 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 really good. And he's really good, and he is fun, and he is sensational, and it feels like he's going to pop out of there with, you know, you think about the spinning back fist that he had in this fight, the flying knee, the big time cuts that he put on TJ with his punches. His punches were crisp, sensational. He has a lot of entertaining factors to him. He does have some flaws too, though. He does have those you know, that amount of octagon control that his opponents can get on him. You know, he's got to find some better ways to shake that out. He's also got to be a little bit more savvy with his risk calculation on when he's going out there and he's going to try something crazy. Where is this going to end up if he doesn't get the shot? Does he have to be more wary of time and round? I don't know. But I definitely think that TJ being in those positions where he was going to be able to get octagon control really, really cost Corey Sandhagen in this one. At least with the judges. I still think that he should have gotten the nod, but he didn't. So you kind of got to look to it and see, well, where could he have gone better here? Where could he have improved? Other results from this night, Julian Paiva got himself a win over Kyler Phillips. Very, very fun fight between them both. Majority decision. Phillips got a 10-8 on one of the cards, so they had it as a draw for one of those, but the other two gave him the nod. Don't have a problem with that. Darren Elkins, I think, probably had the comeback of the night. There were a lot of great comebacks, but the damage, bro. Like, you go out there, and if you're Derek Manier and you think you're going to go and just steamroll him in a first round, you got to put away the damage, man. You got to put forth the damage on the damage to put away Darren Elkins, and just not enough. He's got the most intense tattoo in all the sport. It literally looks like damage scratched into his chest. There's a reason for that. He definitely put forth a great performance in this one, and that's why people love him. 37 years old, he's still entertaining as hell. Brings a lot of fun to the fight cards, and you know, I just think that is completely fun. I think probably even more controversial than the main event was the women's flyweight fight between Macy Barber and Miranda Maverick. I thought Miranda got this 2-1. I thought this was a horrible decision. I thought that, you know, Macy Barber for sure got the third round, but I just thought didn't do enough in either one of the first two rounds to really get a nod. I thought that she was on her way in round two, but really let it slip away. So I don't think that she deserved that decision. I thought that was a really poor call from the referees. Now, it's big for her career. You know, she could have gone to 3 straight losses, and she's 23 years old and has these aspirations of being the youngest champion ever. Still isn't quite that I think that dominant wrecking ball that burst onto the scene. I thought Miranda Maverick did enough. I thought that she should have gotten the nod there for sure. In this one. So, you know, it was all in all a fun night. I thought that the main event, the fight of the night, was really the star of the show. Really brought the most forth out of any of them. And that was the night, man. We'll take a quick break here on the program. When we come back, get into a little bit of the news of the week. Plenty going on in mixed martial arts and boxing. We're back with more after this. All right, welcome back, everybody. It is Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. You had BKFC this past weekend. Paige VanZant and Rachel Ostovich was the main event. And Rachel Ostovich got the nod. Got the arm raised, won herself a decision over Paige VanZant. And I think for Paige, it's a tough spot. You know, she comes into this promotion and is, you know, really their biggest free agent acquisition. David Feldman was super stoked to get her. Loses the first fight to Britton Hart, who looks like an absolute monster in BKFC. And some people have found really, really good homes for this promotion. But I said to anybody who would listen this week, I thought that Paige for sure was going to get the nod here because I thought that she was coming along pretty well in that last round of her last fight. I do think that experience matters in this sport. I think that I've seen, you know, a bunch of fighters from mixed martial arts. It comes in, it's a little bit tougher to find the range. And I thought that she looked like she was gathering more of it. So I thought for sure her coming into the second fight that she was going to be in a better spot, and especially for Ostovich. You know, Ostovich doesn't exactly have a clean record. This is somebody that she has a win with, even if it being a submission win. This is somebody that she has a win with over in UFC. So this is as tailor-made as it was for Paige VanZant to get herself a victory, and she didn't. So that's a tough one for her to swallow. I don't really know where the next spot is for her in this promotion. You know, I still think that she does a great job promoting the sport. She's a, you know, great ambassador for combat sports. She just hasn't been very good at getting wins as of late. So it's a tough one for her to take, especially, I think, against somebody that, you know, you already have a victory over, has had a bit of a dicey record in the UFC as it was. And so for her not to get a win there was pretty tough. There was a pretty cool video this week. I don't know if you guys saw this, but Canelo Alvarez had Brandon Moreno, the flyweight champion, in camp and was giving us some advice on some body shots. But I thought that was pretty cool. You had it was such a cool thing that Brandon Moreno, first Mexican-born UFC champion, was working out with one of the best Mexican champions there is in Canelo Alvarez. So I thought that was a pretty cool video this week. That was Circle of the Waves. And if you're going to get advice on body punching from anybody, I think Canelo Alvarez is the dude to do that. Speaking of Canelo, there was some news this week that he is going to be set to fight Caleb Plant September 18th, Mexican Independence Day weekend. That looks like that is going to be set up. And he will be taking on Caleb Plant for the super middleweight undisputed championship of the world. We've been having a lot of undisputed lately. It's been the big thing. And Canelo has had his eyes set on this. And maybe there was a little bit of worry that there'd be some financial hangups with this and that Caleb Plant, they wouldn't be able to get it done. Looks like they are going to get it done. And that's tremendous. I'm looking forward to this one. I still favor Canelo. I think pretty heavily in this one. I'm a fan of Caleb Plant. I like him a lot. I just think that Canelo is in this spot right now where you have to be super elusive and also just give him something that he can really respect giving back. And I just think that he's just found this prime weight class where, you know, he handles the weight up here. He's a vicious power puncher. Even against Billy Joe Saunders, you had some people thought that Billy Joe was winning that fight. I didn't think that was the case. I thought that Canelo was winning that fight. But ended up breaking his orbital bone. So, yeah, I think it's a dangerous fight for Caleb. Caleb's got to be elusive. He's also got to give something that Canelo can respect. And I think it's a big step up, not only in competition for him, but it's a big step up in stage. I think there's Canelo is getting to that point where he's not only, as good a boxer as a lot of these guys are that he steps in there with, but also is just much more used to the stage. He's got a little bit of an aura to him that he has garnered back ever since the Triple G fights. I think with the Triple G fights where he had his own questions with PEDs, and there were their own questions with whether or not he got the nod on some sketchy scorecards. I think he's in a different rare air right now. Now, this is going to be interesting. This is going to be a spot where you have a guy in Canelo Alvarez. He's back on regular pay-per-view. It's going to be on Fox pay-per-view. So what kind of business is this going to do? I think that's all fascinating, but I think it should do pretty monster numbers, especially with, especially if Canelo brings any of that swagger that he had in that post-fight press conference with Billy Joe Saunders to the Caleb Plant press conferences, any of that. If we see some of that, I think that'll be absolutely brilliant. We also got some notes this week. So some other fights that were set up. Anthony Joshua, because remember, this was supposed to be the fight week for Tyson Fury versus Deontay Wilder 3. Obviously, that got scrapped. But we've been waiting to find out what is Anthony Joshua's plans. When is he going to be up and running? And who is he going to be fighting now that he's not fighting Tyson Fury? And it turns out he's going to be fighting Alexander Usyk for the Unified Heavyweight Championship on September 25th. That's a fun fight. I think Alexander Usyk is, I don't think he's had the most impressive jump to heavyweight so far. So I do favor Anthony. I think that Anthony needs himself a very impressive win. You know, Kubrat-Pulev, you know, did what he kind of was supposed to do in that one. I still think that he had something left to be desired in that second Andy Ruiz fight. So I think he can garner a lot of that back and garner some hype back. Beating a guy that's essentially a cruiserweight, you're much bigger than him. You're much more powerful than him. The guy is probably a slicker boxer than you are, but I don't know if he presents the danger that Ruiz did or, you know, a lot of these heavyweights that he's been in there with. I think that he should be able to inflict something where you'd be like, all right, Anthony Joshua, he's definitely one of the dudes at heavyweight right now. Because if Alexander Usyk is able to do something to him and he is able to shake him up a little bit, I don't know how much people are really going to have any faith that he could get it done against Tyson Fury. Because I think we all feel like it's almost a formality that Tyson's going to get it done against Deontay Wilder, against, unless we see a much different Deontay Wilder this next time around. But I do think that AJ's still in his... You know, we talk about Canelo with his little redemption. I think that AJ's still looking for that too. A little bit back to that mystical shine that he had before he had lost to Andy Ruiz. And everybody looked upon him as one of the guys at heavyweight. And he certainly has the fame and he has the million-dollar smile and all that type of stuff. But I still think he's in need of a big-time win for sure. Another boxing news that came. A lot of matches got announced this week. Oscar De La Hoya and Vitor Belfort. This is no longer going to be an exhibition. This is going to be a true boxing match. This is from Mike Commager. Oscar De La Hoya, Vitor Belfort no longer plans an exhibition. Now a real fight, 8 2-minute rounds, contested at 185 pounds. Preliminary approved by the California State Athletic Commission September 11th at the Staples Center. So this is interesting. I did see that this. I will say the one thing that Triller needs to kind of chill on. They got to get a more updated picture of Oscar De La Hoya. They can't go with the picture of the 90s from Oscar De La Hoya. He needs something a little bit more up to date. Let's not completely lie to people when it comes to who we're gonna see in there. But good. I'm glad it's a real fight. I'm interested to see what Oscar De La Hoya we get. He sounded like when he wanted to make this comeback initially, that this was supposed to be for real fights, and he still has his eyes set on a Floyd Mayweather rematch and a Canelo Alvarez fight. I'll tell you what, look, man, gimmick fights and all, I think him versus Canelo Alvarez, what does that do? A gazillion buys? That's blockbuster if those two can actually put that together. But you talk about the feud that they've had, the star power that they have, all these wacky fights that they have. That one's, I think, certainly a monster by any stretch of the imagination. So we'll see. We'll see what Oscar's going to bring to the table. You know, we haven't seen a Vitor Belfort necessarily look the best. This is a different sport that he's coming into as well. So what type of Vitor are we going to get? I don't know, but I'm into it. I'm into this fight. It's fun. It's going to be fun to see Oscar De La Hoya back in there. It's going to be fun seeing these two go for knockouts. Certainly Vitor is going to go for shots with bad intentions. And I think that's going to make for a really, really fun event. I'm into this one. I'm into this Triller matchup that's coming up now. I wish they could figure out the stuff that's going on with Kambosos and Lopez. That would be nice. I certainly wish that was the case. But, you know, beggars can't be choosers right now. I'll take this and everything they got set up with it as of right now. It's an interesting one. So, one other boxing note, Ryan Garcia looks like he has his comeback fight set. He is reportedly going to face Jojo Diaz coming up. That Ryan Garcia's return fight is, he's been back in training and is apparently going to be fighting Jojo Diaz probably in the fall in Los Angeles. As Diaz says, I'm going to take him to a place he's never been physically or mentally. Ryan Garcia, I feel like he's a talented fighter, but he's never been in the ring with guys that I've been in the ring with. And so it's looking like that one's going to be set up both under the Golden Boy promoter. So it should be an easy one to make. Doesn't feel like there's a lot of obstacles. I did see that Devin Haney was laughing at this matchup where he was like, these two guys, they both want to This is the first time in history you see two mandatories opt out of fighting the champion. And Jojo Diaz responded, STFU champ, you got the belt handed to you. I'm going to F you up. And he goes, you lost, and they gave you a draw to a bum. So this is a weird one. He says, for all you saying that I'm ducking Haney, I'm giving you a middle finger at you. I've received no contract offer. So it's an interesting one. Listen, Devin Haney is looking for a big one for sure. He's looking for a big fight. I think that he knows that a lot of fighters don't want to fight him because he will probably make them look silly. Now, look, his last fight against Jorge Linares was really, really fun. I thought that Devin Haney showed a really aggressive side to him and showed some vulnerability, too. I mean, he got clipped there at the end, and he was holding on for dear life those last couple of rounds. So I would have thought that probably opened the door for more people to want to fight Devin Haney because he did show some vulnerabilities and showed himself to be an action-worthy fighter. So I hope that Devin Haney does go out there and get a matchup soon that will warrant him something pretty high profile. But that was an interesting back and forth amongst that crew. We'll take a quick break here on the program. When we come back, we're going to talk to the Red King, Rory McDonald. We will get to that coming up on the other side. Welcome back, everybody. It's Tobin's Fight Show here on 790 The Ticket. So I got a chance this week to go down to Sanford MMA in Deerfield Beach. My first time actually at that gym since it's fairly, you know, new. It's been open in my hometown for a little bit now. It's the latest home of, like, Henry Hoof's camp. They had a lot of fighters on the card tonight. Brendan Allen was victorious out of there. And they got you know, a lot of the great Gilbert Burns fights out of there. Robbie Lawler. My guy Tyrone Spong. A lot of the guys who have been in the Henry Hoof crew, either at Hard Knocks 365 or the Black Zillions and all that. That's where they train now. They train out of Sanford MMA. And one who is fighting there now is the Red King, Rory McDonald, who is fighting for PFL now. PFL is going to be coming to the Hard Rock for three cards for their playoff series. So you'll have Kayla Harrison down here. I believe Clarissa Shields is going to be on one of those cards. And Rory McDonald, he's going to be on the first one on August 13th. And I got a chance to sit down with Rory McDonald, talk a little bit about what his life is like down here in South Florida, this upcoming playoffs with the PFL, and if he's got any fond memories with a current training partner of his. Very excited to talk to our next guest, the Red King, Rory McDonald, join us here. We're at Sanford MMA in Deerfield Beach, my hometown, so it's very exciting to be here. Rory, how long have you been down in South Florida now, man? Is this a recent move for you?
I came down here at the start of February.
Okay, so how have you liked living in South Florida, getting ready? This is a I imagine much different than getting ready in Canada.
Yeah, it's been great. The weather's obviously nice. Came down here because of the freedom, able to train, and you know, the great guys here at Sanford MMA. So it's been a great time preparing for my fights. I feel like they've gotten me you know, physically, mentally ready for my fights. So I'm really happy with it.
Has there been one thing aside from the weather? Because everybody always says the weather. Is there one thing about South Florida that you have loved above all else living here so far?
Yeah, their outlook on the whole COVID situation and not having to put a mask on, and you know that we can go to stores and live our life free.
It's been nice. It's been nice being a little bit more open like that for sure. Yeah. So you got the tournament's starting up, coming up August 13th at the Hard Rock. So you're going to be getting to fight locally down here in South Florida, which is really, really cool. What has this opportunity in PFL been like for you, man? You've been a star in UFC, you've been a star in Bellator. You're one of the faces now of PFL. What does it mean to you to be, you know, a guy who's made his way through organizations, has had a lot of success in different organizations, and what do you hope that translates to with PFL?
Well, I'm here to, you know, show that I'm the best in the world in every fight I go in. So I want to express myself fully. I want to go in, fight hard with no regrets, and, you know, show that I'm the best.
Your last fight, thought you won.
Thank you.
Just to get that out of the way. Do you, when you have something like that happen, do you still take it going into camp as a loss because it's on your record? Like, do you have, I don't know if you take losses and wins like differently when you go into training, or when you feel like you got screwed by the judges, like does it change your mentality in any way, or is it just pure frustration because of you feeling you got the win and people didn't, and three people didn't see it the right way?
Honestly, in my heart, I I think of it as a win. You know, obviously it's not on my record, but like with the support I had from the public, like I've had losses, decision losses in the past where, you know, I disagree, but I could see it, you know, how it went that way.
Yeah.
This one, or even just frustrated with certain referee calls and it was a close fight because of, you know, the referee I had, whatever. You know, I'll take that loss, you know, mentally. But, you know, in my heart, not that I need to be outspoken about it, but I feel like I've very clearly won that fight. So I carry that in my, you know, my heart that, you know, I won that fight, you know. But it's going to be a permanent blemish on the record, unfortunately.
This gym in particular, it's kind of been like it's a beautiful facility. It's been kind of a lot of formations in different locations with Henry Hooft and the whole crew that's kind of gone all over South Florida.
Mm-hmm.
What have you taken from this, like a new experience in a new gym like this and a crew that's been pretty tight-knit for the most part? Have you liked that? Has it been nice being amongst new blood, and do you find yourself picking up new things, new ways of training, or do you keep things pretty much how you've been doing it your whole career and they adapt to you?
Well, they have definitely a different training mentality, training schedule. They train different skills and like styles. So I think that was really good for me to break up my rhythm that I was used to, that old mold that I've done for years and years. So it was good for me to get out of my comfort zone, and they've been able to push me and make me a better fighter.
Did you ever, when you came to this gym, did you have any interaction with Robbie Lawler? You guys have one of the all-time classics.
Yeah.
People think it's one of the greatest fights of all time, one of the greatest title fights of all time.
Thanks.
What was that like?
I've spoke with Robbie before, but he's always, he's a very down-to-earth, calm, chill guy, so easy to get along with. So, yeah, me and Robbie chat every now and again, and to be honest, it's, our conversations is like we never fought. You know?
Really?
Yeah, it's just, you know, regular guys.
Because that's wild. Like, it's one of those things. I think people watch that and they almost think it's like a movie. But that is, you know, a real piece of you guys. Like, that'll always be remembered. And it never comes up with you guys?
We've never spoke about it.
Wow. That's pretty wild, man. Yeah. One day, when the fighting is over, maybe.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe. Is it hard fighting away from your family? Is that something you typically do in camps? Or have you liked, you know, getting to separate and just kind of go in, like, I don't know, Rocky IV mode? You're in your own little hub getting ready for fights.
It's difficult. You know, it's not something I've done a lot of, especially for this amount of time. But I think it's needed, you know. Family, small children, it's a lot to manage both, you know. It's a lot of work to do fighting, it's to go back and forth. It could be, you know, it could be a lot on the plate. And when, you know, I'm separated from them, it hurts my heart. It sucks when, you know, you're thinking about them. But on the opposite side, this way I could focus in, put in the hard work, and, you know in my heart when I go into these training sessions and into this fight, that I'm doing it for them. And, you know, I'm not just going in tippy-toeing into this fight, you know, just to get through it. I'm going in there to win and fight hard.
Well, we appreciate you giving us some time, man. August 13th, check out Rory McDonald, ESPN2, as PFL starts up their playoffs, taking on Ray Cooper. You guys can check that out. I hope they let some people in at the Hard Rock. I don't know what the deal is there yet, but if they do, and you're down here in South Florida, go check Rory out, because that's going to be a hell of a show. He always puts on a hell of a show. And we appreciate the time, man. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks again to Rory for the time. I found that fascinating. Hasn't never spoken to Robbie Lawler about the all-time classic they've had together. I think one of the best fights of all time. One of the best fights of all time between those two. And you think about Robbie getting the win, just down on the scorecards when he got that knockdown, got that knockout of Rory McDonald. So I can see Rory not wanting to bring it up. And listen, they don't strike me as the two chattiest guys in the room anyway. But I would have figured that there had to be some mention of it. I think it's you want to talk about like Hall of Fame fights. You know, the UFC puts that's a Hall of Fame worthy fight between those two, an all timer. Some other news that came out this week. There is rumblings from Charles Oliveira that his title fight against Dustin Poirier is going to come in December, which I think is a pretty good timeline. You know, Charles winning his belt in the spring. You have Dustin Poirier with his win over McGregor in the summer. Boom, bring him back at the end of the year. I think that that's a great timeline for both of them to make their comeback. I think it's a fun fight. You know, we had Dia Davis on last week. He thinks that they have a great advantage when it comes to the striking. And that's where, you know, we've seen a lot of improvement from Charles Oliveira. He's such a good, well-rounded fighter. It's a fun fight between these guys, man. That the fact that they have just so many weapons to go to in this bout, and it's not just this guy has this. Now, I think that for both of them, you'd say, like, okay, Oliveira, bread and butter, is probably submission game, where he can go get those wins, get them from any angle. And for Dustin, the other way, you probably say, all right, his bread and butter is the striking. He's maybe the best boxer in the UFC. But both of them are good in both areas. And so which one's going to give? So it's a really, really fun matchup both ways for each guy. We also got word that Logan Paul, it looks like his next fight is going to be against Anderson Silva. And he is the betting favorite early on against Anderson Silva. And I say a couple things to this. One, you know, Anderson just had himself a boxing match against Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. And he looked really good. And I know that Chavez Jr. is no first prize to write home about. But, you know, he's an older MMA fighter. And he's coming in there against a guy who's been in there with Canelo Alvarez. Has been in there with some of the best of the best. And he looked good. And he looked good against him. So this is an interesting one. You know, Logan, you got to be impressed that he was able to go the distance with Floyd Mayweather, even if he's got 50 pounds on the guy. I thought when I watched him in that opening sparring day, I was like, this guy's going to keel over middle of the fight. And he didn't. He got through the 8 rounds. He was able to make it through. But whereas I feel like Jake, I think, is going to have some success against Tyron Woodley, I feel like Anderson Silva. I don't know how you prepare for a guy like Anderson Silva. He's so unorthodox. He's so weird. I know it's not mixed martial arts, so you don't have to worry about the kicks, but I think this one could be big trouble for Logan Paul. I mean, I haven't really seen anything other than some guts. I'll give him props in the guts category. I don't know if I've seen like him be this masterful striker in the cage. So I think this one could be a pretty dangerous one for him, if you ask me. And then finally, so George St. Pierre was given a helmet. So George St. Pierre was given a statue in Montreal, and his statue looks just like Barack Obama. It's crazy. GSP put this up on his Instagram page this week. And it's crazy. I mean, this. I don't know if people have, you know, I may be late to the party on this, but it's wild how much this statue that he put up looks just like Obama. It looked like, I don't know if it's the smile, the haircut, or what, but GSP is like, it's crazy. It looks just like the former president. It's a wild thing. So you guys got to check this out. I would recommend it. If you guys haven't seen this, it's on GSP's Instagram account. I think it's his latest post, at Georges St. Pierre. You guys can go check it out. But this thing, it was his post from a few days ago. But you'll notice which one it was. This thing looks just like Obama. I hadn't seen that one. Hilarious. Anyway, thanks again to Rory McDonald for joining the program. Thank you all for tuning in, and we'll talk to you guys next time.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Oh, oh, oh.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.